Compelled to Share Our Hope. A sermon from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 27. From Concordia Lutheran Church in Cerritos, California. My friends, may the joy of knowing and understanding the love and mercy of God compel you to proclaim that love to a lost and broken world. As I read our epistle reading for this week, this reading from 1 Corinthians, there's a phrase that convicted me. Paul says, I am compelled by God to do it. And how terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. The phrase there for preaching the good news is not what I'm doing right now, in the middle of a church service. Instead, it's the word we get evangelism from. Sharing the love of God, sharing the hope we have with everyone we meet. I translate it this way, I'm compelled by God to do it, and how terrible for me, or for us, if we don't share why we have hope, for we know Jesus Christ. I have to admit, there are times where I don't feel so compelled to share my hope. There are times where giving people hope isn't that much of a priority. We don't care enough. We go about our day being driven by our tasks and our needs and even our desires. And we aren't compelled to share our hope. A hope that we have simply because we know Jesus. When I heard how terrible this is for me, what I don't hear is why it's so terrible. Why is it terrible when our hope isn't shared? Sometimes I think it's terrible because God's going to be up there and he's going to be disappointed in us because we didn't obey. We didn't do what he asked us to do. I think it's terrible because we've let him down again and we've disobeyed and we might even think we need to be punished. And that's not why it's terrible at all. In fact, we might believe that we're being punished right now because things aren't going the way we anticipate, the way we would like. And that's not it either. I'm going to try to share with you why we should be compelled. We don't overlook our hope. And instead, we share it with this lost and broken world. By the way, in verse 17, Paul tells us that we're not alone in this attitude situation. That he didn't have any initiative for sharing his faith either. He didn't feel forced to. He wasn't compelled. And that may sound a little bit strange coming from Paul, the great missionary apostle. He didn't do what he did because he was such a mission-driven, natural-born evangelist. He felt he wasn't compelled. And he had to be compelled. That means he was passive, much like us. When this task was given to him to accomplish, and the drive to accomplish it was an external thing, not of his own. He says he has no choice, no initiative, yet he accomplishes the task. We have to ask ourselves why and how. You see the text, what does it say? God has given me this sacred trust. God put his faith in Paul to get this done. And if you talk about a heavy load to bear, a heavy weight to carry, God trusted Paul to do this work, to be sent to people to show them the love of God. He was sent to give them hope. He's the one about whom Jesus spoke when he said, peace be with you, as the Father sent me, so I send you. That was true for Paul and all the apostles. Jesus talks of being sent on a mission to save us, and even as he saves us, he gives us the same goal. God gives us this sacred trust that we read about a moment ago. It doesn't end there, though. Paul says to the church in Corinth and to us, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. is what the love of Christ compels us to do, this imitation. What the poured out blood of Christ compels us to do, this love, this knowing God, it compels us to tell people why we have hope, because we know Jesus. But God compelling us and God laying this burden upon us isn't heavy-handed law coming down. It's about the gospel. It's about the joy we have in Christ. And as we realize this joy, we will desire, we'll be compelled to share it. One of my favorite writers struck me with a similar passage. It questioned my desire to share my hope with a quote. And I wrote that into yesterday's blog. It's a bit long, but the basic idea is that our prayers and focus should be on the mission. That we're to help people have the hope that we have. We should strive to see God's desire that all coming into this relationship that we have and treasure with Him. And if that is our prayer, if that is our hope, if that's our aim, then there is great joy in our life, the writer said. You see God working through you as you see people hear and gain this hope we have in Christ. But if the answer is no, it's not get out of your pew and go do it anyways. His answer was to put more trust in Jesus, to know His promises more, to understand what the Father wants to give us in this covenant relationship. That promise is seen in the cross. His body was given and His blood was shed to bring us into this relationship, even as our sins are forgiven. This promise teaches us to know that we have life with God, not just now, but now and forever, and nothing can separate us from that love in Christ. We celebrate this love, this promise, every time we share in the body and blood of Christ. For Paul says each time we do, we proclaim His death. His death for us until He comes again. We need to know that desire of God. We need to rejoice in understanding that this is the aim of God our Father. All of the sin, all of the things you're ashamed of in life, all of the things that break us down and kill our spirit, our rebellion and selfishness that is nothing more than making an idol of ourselves, it's killed off. The sin that blocks us from God is intercepted, and the victory prize is Christ. We've become His. We've been united to His death and resurrection. St. Jose Maria went on to say, if you possess the joy, then you'll seek to give it to others. You could say, if you possess this joy of knowing Christ, you are compelled to give it to others. God has shared His glory with you. And that causes so much joy, you have no other choice. For God has given you this sacred trust. Just like Paul the Apostle. That is the love of God that compels you. The more you experience it, the more you are changed and born, the more you're transformed, and the more you want to pass it on to others as you trust in Him. Even to the point where you're like Paul. Where you will be what people need you to be. You'll be with them, that you might gain them for Christ. For when one comes to the Father, the joy is beyond belief. And we rejoice with the angels in heaven and God on His throne. Jeremiah put this truth about this joy this way. God's message is, don't let the wise brag of their wisdom. Don't let heroes brag of their exploits. Don't let the rich brag of their riches, but if you brag, brag of this and this only. Brag that you understand and know Me, that I'm God, and I act in loyal love. I do what's right and set things right and fair. And I delight in those who do the same things. Rejoice in this. Even to the point where you brag about it, that you understand and know God, the God whose love is poured out on you, The God who sets your life right. The God you know and understand. And rejoice in His faithfulness and His loyalty. For He makes you His own. And when someone asks you why you have hope, share His love with them. Share His mercy with them. And invite them to know His peace. Amen.